You're probably going to do what you always do every morning is jump on to check your email or news or whatever it is that you do out of habit when you wake up. And so what happens is sometimes we can still be in bed and we instinctively use, who uses their phone as an alarm clock? Okay, yeah, me too. iPhone's got this really cool thing called standby where it makes it look like the traditional red alarm clock when you turn it sideways. And so I use mine as my alarm clock. And I'm one of those people that I wake up and I'm out of bed as soon as I wake up. But instinctively, what can happen is we can just grab our phone and a notification or a news story or something grabs our attention to where we are being hit with information overload before we even get started for the day. Before we can even mutter the words, Lord, what do you have for me today? Help me to be faithful to what you've called me to do. And for some, that constant in-your-face information, guess what it does over time? It starts to have an impact, doesn't it? It starts to take a toll. For some, it can bring a feeling of being unsettled. It can bring nervousness to our hearts. Well, what's going to happen today? What's the political climate today? And then it can even bring to where our minds are on edge, to where now we're so consumed with it, we can't go about our day because we've been hit with this barrage of information that quite frankly shouldn't be having any kind of impact on our life, because who do we serve? The Lord. And He already knows all of the stuff going on. He already knows what's going to happen. He already knows. But yet we let the things of the world impact us and unsettle us in such a way that we start our day being worried and on edge. And the problem, quite frankly, isn't because we live in a broken world. The problem is that we let the broken world confuse us and to hide from us who we belong to and where the story is heading. Who knows where this story is headed? Okay, for those of you who don't know, guess what? There comes a day when when the Lord says to Jesus, it's time. And when He says it's time, the eastern sky is going to part, Jesus is going to appear, and He is going to call His church unto Himself. And so what is the church? The church is not the building. He's going to leave the building here, but the faithful followers inside who have been blood-bought by the grace of Jesus Christ will be called to Him to live with Him in heaven for eternity. Does anybody know how long eternity is? Forever. We can't even in our finite minds begin to understand what forever looks like. We don't even know if we'll know what time is when we get to heaven, because it's forever. Now here in the world, we think forever, well gosh, forever is that it takes too long for Casey's Pizza to have my order ready. Right? Because we have this finite way of looking at stuff, and instead, we know that we have promise and glory with Jesus forever. And so the problems of this world, when we look at it, we weigh it against that, they're hardly anything. And so that's what this series is about, not of this world. It is because we want to live faithfully in a noisy world. We need to have a healthy understanding of what it is to be a Christian in today's world. And when we remember where our true citizenship is, everything starts to look different. So yes, we are citizens of the United States. We are inhabitants of this world, but our true identity is, and I'm pointing there, but you should be just looking here, we are citizens of heaven. Our hope is in heaven. Our hope is not in this things of the world. Guess what? Systems will always break down. What does Murphy's Law tell us? Anything bad that can happen, guess what? It will happen. We got home from our cruise last weekend. Guess what happened on Wednesday? After my board meeting, Caden started throwing up all over the house. From 8 p.m. until 8 a.m., he was sick. Caleb gets up Thursday morning and says, I don't want to go to school. I'm stuffy. I don't feel good. Well, guess what? Who's been stuffy for the past week? Caleb. But in a show of, I'm going to prove you wrong, Mom and Dad, he went and grabbed the thermometer, stuck it in his ear, and it was 101.8. So he didn't go to school. They've been home the last 2 days of this week. And so anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And we are not to let these things grab our attention to have us hyper-focused on, but instead understand that the Lord already knew this was going to happen. Now that can be hard for some of us because we like to be in control. We like to have our hands in it, know which way things are going to move. And sometimes the Lord just says, hey, guess what? It's time for you to slow down for a moment. It's time for you to focus on my presence. And so I'm going to shift this for a moment and have you think about your address. Everybody should know their address, right? If you call 911, what do they tell you in school is one of the first things you need to tell the dispatcher? Your address, right? Or where you're located at, because that's how they get to you to take care of you. Now, how many of you, by a show of hands, have ever moved in your life? Silly question, right? How many of you have moved more than 5 times? I got 2 hands from 1 person. How many of you have moved more than 10 times? All right, I still got 20 times. More than 20 times? More than 30?
No.
Kelly, you got to plant some roots, gal. So here's the thing. There's kind of some fun in that, but let's understand that every time we move, one of the first things we need to do is what? Update our address. Update our address on our driver's license, update our address with the post office. And the reason for that is because we get important documents in the mail, don't we? And if we don't update our address, guess what we don't get? The important things that we need. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, that's how I avoid paying my bills. I'm just going to tell you, go ahead and update your address. They're going to find you one way or the other. But understand this, that your address is not your identity. Your address is not your identity. As Brett and Kelly have proven, your address can change several times in a lifetime. Throughout your lifetime, you might find yourself like Gordon and Sherry in Germany for a time. You might find yourself on the other side of the globe. And so it's important to understand that your identity is not tied to your address. And in the very same way, the world, guess what, is not our final home. It is just our current address. Okay? So Paul writes to believers, and if you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and get them open to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. And in the same way that this earth is not our current address, Paul writes to remind believers of something better, something stronger, not just a different mindset, but a different hope that we as Christians get to carry. And it has to do with being a citizen. But for them, let's get into it. Go ahead and go to the next slide, please. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, we're going to see just a short blurb, but I'm going to explain the importance of citizenship. Verse 20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Now, Paul writes this to the Philippians, and Philippi was a Roman colony. Now, if you know, Rome was taking over the world at that time, and citizenship mattered. In fact, we'll see it. If you've read the New Testament, you'll see that Paul is beat as a Roman citizen. And Paul says, listen, you have already done this to me, but I, as a Roman citizen, do I not have these rights? And that changed the whole conversation because citizenship matters. Okay? And so this is, Paul is writing to a place that citizenship carried enormous weight, where you were a citizen mattered because people strongly identified with where their citizenship was held. Guess what we do in America today? Do we not carry a bunch of weight and importance of being citizens of the United States? Very much so. That's why we are protected by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, is it not? We have rights, and so we strongly identify with where our citizenship is held. And so when Paul says here that our citizenship is in heaven, he's taken time to redirect our focus, redirect their focus. It's not about earthly systems. It's not about the political climate. Listen, it is about pointing to a kingdom that is not impacted by any of that. And that's good news. That's good news. He is also pointing them towards Christ's return. See, because Christ, he's taken time to remind them that they await a Savior and a promised transformation. This is our eternal hope, church. Our first point this morning is we are headed home. Who's ready to go home? Come on. When Paul tells believers that their citizenship is in heaven, he is doing more than reminding them who they belong to. He is reminding them that their story is continuing to move forward, that there is a point to this story. The Christian life, it feels like it can be just in this endless loop where it's just bad, and then we start to get, and then bad, and then it's our, and then the bad. And it's not just an endless loop. It seems like it, but it's not. While life tries to continue to recycle anxieties and uncertainties and problems in life, understand that this life on earth, it is a journey with a destination that has been secured by Christ himself in heaven. So while things can get out of hand, while things and hope and all the things happen, we have a destination that is not just more of the same. It is hope in Christ. And the world that we live in right now, understand that this is not where your hope ends. Like, I think I just said that, but I'm going to say it again, because our hope is not in this world. As Christians, we are moving forward. We are headed home to where we have a promised future with our Savior. It is the place that Christ himself is preparing for us. In fact, Scripture tells us, you can turn to it if you'd like, John 14, verses 2 and 3. Jesus is in heaven preparing a place for us. But it's not just a place where he's going to put us. No, he says, I'm going to come and I'm going to take you with me. So the hope is tied directly to being in his presence. Our hope is not merely a location on a gold street somewhere in heaven. Instead, it is tied to being with him, to being in his presence. And this is where Jesus speaks directly to this. John chapter 14, 2 through 3. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, don't miss this, you may be also. So where I am, I bring you to be with me. And what Jesus emphasizes here is not just a place, but it's more of the fact that he emphasizes it's his presence that you get to be with. He's not saying, I'll send you directions, I'll see you soon, bye guys, right? Instead, he says, I will come for you. I will come and gather you. And that promise should steady our heart to know that he is preparing a place, and when the Lord says, Jesus, go get him, he has the place ready, and he's going to come and he's going to gather us. So our future is not hanging in uncertainty. Our future is not full of unknowns. Yes, we have decisions to make. We have things that we have to decide and pass up. But what is before us is Jesus has gone. He has gone before us. He is making a way, and now he is drawing us forward. And when we as believers, as Christians, as Jesus followers, when we begin to lose sight of this, guess what? This news that we get hit with as soon as we wake up in the morning, it feels heavier and heavier and heavier. And it feels so heavy, but the reality is it feels heavier than it actually is because of the hope that we carry. Temporary struggles that we go through, they begin to feel just a permanent fixture in life. Can anyone testify to that, right? The temporary trials that we face, they now feel permanent. It's constant. It's never ending. But remember this, that Christ's promise brings today back into proper perspective. When you weigh your troubles today against eternity in heaven in His presence, how big are our troubles? That's not to diminish the troubles that you are walking through. That's not to say that you're not walking through maybe the hardest thing you've ever walked through in life, but when you compare it to the promise of being in Jesus' presence forever in glory, where there's no sin, no tears, no crying, no pain, how big are our problems really today? They pale in comparison. So we certainly do still walk with difficulties in life. We still will face problems every single day. We will still have challenges every single day, but we do not do it without direction because we are headed home. We are on a journey to get home. And the Christian life is not an escape from reality. If you became a Christian because you thought this will make my life easier, I'm here to tell you Jesus makes your life infinitely better, but your life is still going to be difficult. In fact, Scripture promises that as a Christian, life will be hard. But understand that while we don't escape the moment, the reality that we're walking in right now, there's a steady movement forward toward reunion with Christ Jesus. And that truth should give us endurance. It should give us hope. It should help us navigate these hard seasons. It should give us patience in uncertain moments. And it should give us peace when the world feels unsettled. Our impact statement on this today is our future is with Christ. The future is not your job. It's not what you're going to do after high school or college. It's not going to do when you get home from church today. Your future is with Christ. And when we truly understand that our future is secure in Christ, it begins to change how we see the present moment. Because direction influences perspective. And if we understand that we are headed home, then that leads us right into our next point, that perspective changes the present. Knowing where we are going does not make us careless about today. I lived in such a way when I was young that if the Lord's not done with me, then I'm going to be just safe doing the stupidest things I've ever done in my life. Anybody? Anybody else live like that? Like, if He's not done, I can just go ride the dirt bike 70 miles an hour, jump in the ditches with no helmet on because I'm going to be safe. Well, okay, there's a couple of us, right? Like, you just live carelessly, right? Because the Lord's not done with us. What it actually does is perspective changes the present. It gives us clarity for today, within our problems. And when heaven only feels like a distant thought, right, we can be so caught up in all of our problems today that heaven feels so far away, so absent from where we are in this moment because the pressures of life feel enormous, overwhelming at times, even to the point where every problem feels final. But when we keep eternity in view, the weight of those temporary things begin to settle in a proper proportion. It's really not as big of a deal. Yes, we have to walk through it still. We still have to deal with it. But it's not as big of a deal when we understand in light of heaven, this is nothing. And that's so hard to say just to sit up here and look at all the faces and to understand that many of us are walking through things that we've never had to go through before. But at the same time, there's a promise of glory in heaven someday, and all of this will not matter anymore. It just doesn't. And so Paul's reminder of heavenly citizenship, it's not to pull believers away from life, because that's what some do. We'll pull away from life. We won't engage in meaningful conversation. We won't take our problems and hand them to Jesus and say, help us to walk through it. Instead, the reminder of our heavenly citizenship, it's meant to steady us. It's meant to ground us in the faith, to know that the eternal perspective does not deny pain. It does not deny responsibility. It just simply does its job of reminding us that what we see right now is not the whole story. Christ is still reigning. Christ is still returning. And that was a good place for a couple of amens. Do you understand that Christ is still reigning amongst your trials and tribulations, and he still promises to return for his church? Okay? Scripture reinforces this perspective. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18. I'm not reading it verbatim, but I brought out the important things. It's all important, but I brought out what speaks to today. So we do not lose heart, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. And Paul is not minimizing suffering here, and I hope that I'm not minimizing your suffering today, and I'd never intend to do that. But instead, what Paul is doing, and I think it's important because it's about the perspective, is Paul is taking the eternal and he is magnifying hope. What does a person full of hope have that we don't? Joy and an unseemingly positive certainty that their hope is never going to fail them. It's eternal. He's hoping believers to understand that what is unseen is not unreal. What is unseen is not unreal. It's eternal. And when eternity is kept in view, discouragement, it loses its grip. Worry begins to fade, and endurance grows stronger. Dal and Patty, can I just call you out for just a minute? You're our oldest, longest followers of Jesus in here, I think. You've lived a lot of life, haven't you? Without Christ, where would your hope be today with all the things that you two are facing? Yep. See, it's the faith that grounds us in an eternal hope that someday Jesus is going to come. He's going to take all this pain, and it's all going to be worth it, because I am in his presence forever. And I pray and I hope that each one of you in this room will also be in his presence when that day comes. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Instead of being pulled by this world into constant anxiety, we can then walk with steady confidence, knowing that the Lord is working through and in our situations. And it's okay to still care deeply about the things that are going on, but let's engage faithfully, because we're not going to be shaken by every little news story that comes out. We're not going to be knocked off course by every wave of uncertainty, because our peace is not rooted in those circumstances. It is not rooted in aligning perfectly with what we think, but it's rooted in Christ, who holds our future securely. Our impact statement for today is eternity brings clarity. Eternity brings clarity. And when our direction is secured, what direction are we going? Toward home. And where is home? It's in heaven. So when our direction is secure and our perspective is steady, it naturally begins to shape and to guide how we live right now in this world. And that brings us to our third point. Our future hope shapes present living. Future hope shapes present living. The promise of heaven is not meant to make believers passive. It is not meant to make us sit on the sidelines. It is meant to make believers faithful. and we know and when we understand that Christ has gone and he is preparing a place for us, that our future hope is held securely in his hands, nobody can take it from you, our daily lives begin to reflect confidence instead of fear, and purpose instead of drifting off into the nothingness of the news cycle or the stories or the problems of life. We begin to live with integrity. We begin to live by extending grace even when the world feels harsh. Not because life becomes easier, but because we've allowed the Holy Spirit to change our motivation in Christ. See, as a follower of Jesus, my motivation is to live right by him every single day. To be changed by him every single day. To be used by him. I could still go out and do whatever I want, when I want, how I want, but I don't because it's living for him and not for myself. Because we are no longer living. You need to hear this. Oh, I don't have my wallet. Who has a dollar? Somebody quick have access to a dollar. Hold it up. Might have to go back to the offering. Okay, we got a couple of dollars here. How fast does that go away? How fast? Right? So to understand that you are no longer living for what is temporary, guess what that is? That's temporary pleasure. When the Lord comes, this earth will cease to exist. It will burn up. When you die, guess what doesn't go with you? Everything. I think I told this story, but I'll tell it again. My grandpa's before, like, we were just joking in early September about my grandpa, and my grandma made the comment that when he dies, he wants all the money put with him because he thinks he's going to take it with him because he never spends it. He squeezed pennies harder than two Dutchmen, I think. So we made the joke at our family gathering for his birthday that whenever that time came, little did we know it'd be a lot sooner than what it was, but we made the joke that we'll just write a check to Grandpa for the full amount that's in their bank account, and we'll put it in the coffin with them so he can take his money with him. You know that check's never going to cash. The reality is, and we laugh, we joke, we smile, but here's the thing. You take nothing with you when you go because it is temporary. Everything that you build here is temporary. So instead, we need to live in such a way that our response is with eternity in mind. Scripture points us in this direction, Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. How many of you were shaken by something this week? Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Because the kingdom of heaven cannot be shaken, our lives do not have to be either. And gratitude, when we have that perspective, gratitude quickly replaces anxiety. Worship replaces worry. Faithfulness becomes the natural response of a heart that knows its future is secure in Christ. When believers remember that their story ends in the presence of Jesus, obedience becomes less about pressure and more about love. We are not trying to earn a place with God. I need you to hear that very clearly this morning. When you are in heaven, and if the question is asked, why are you here? If you start with anything by saying, I, you're already off track. I am here because Jesus. So we are not trying to earn our way into heaven, but we are responding to the place that he has already prepared and promised us. Future hope. I used to think as a kid, these people are thinking of a future hope that's never going to come. When I read scriptures and I see in the New Testament that they talk about this generation, I read it literally, and I'm sitting here thinking, well, that generation has been gone for many, many years. What are these people hoping in? Am I the only one? I'm the pastor, and I'm admitting that. So to think that we would become so detached in the world, but in reality, here's what it does. Our future hope, the generation, is not about the family generation as we know. It's the time that we're in currently. And what this does is instead of detaching us and being so wild and living in such a way that we have no reality left, instead it anchors us within it. Because we understand that not only do we need hope, but the people around us need hope. When we become steady, people in unsteady times will become steady because our confidence is not rooted in the things that change. It's rooted in the things that stay and cannot be shaken. It stays in the one who does not shake. And as we live with this kind of assurance in our lives, other people begin to see a different kind of peace. They see something different in our lives. They see a different kind of faith at work in us. And would you know that that very thing that they see is the Holy Spirit calling them unto himself? Our impact statement for this point is hope in Christ shapes today. So we've seen where the story is headed. We know how eternity steadies our perspective and how our future hope shapes the way we live right now. Now, the question gets personal. How are we living in the world today? By we, I mean you. By we, I mean me. How are you living in the world today? This is not just theology for the mind. This is not an abstract thought. Instead, what today is, you can go to the next slide there, please. Today is strength for your life. Today is strength because some of you are walking through seasons that feel incredibly heavy right now. Some of you are carrying burdens that you were never meant to carry. And quite frankly, we had a sermon here a few weeks ago. Remember all the bags that I had up here that I collected from everybody? But then there's those of you who are carrying burdens that nobody else sees, that nobody else knows because you haven't told anybody. It's in those moments that it's easy for us to feel like today is everything. And why does today feel like everything? Because quite frankly, it's all that we have. Think about that. You're not promised lunch today. You're not promised sitting in your recliner tonight. You're not promised to lay your head down in your bed. You are not promised to wake up in the morning. So what I have is right now. And that's why right now feels like everything. But hear this clearly. Regardless of what happens today, today is not the end of your story. Today is not the end of your story. If you belong to Jesus, your future is already secure. Christ has gone ahead of you. He is preparing a place for you. He is not distant from your struggle, and he is not unaware of your circumstances. You need to know that you are known and you are held in his presence today. And when you remember where your hope is anchored and you remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading, guess what? Fear begins to lose its grip. All of a sudden, what we see first thing when we wake up does not control us. It does not shake us. It does not move us. Discouragement does not get the final word. Yes, you still may walk through challenges, but you do not walk through them alone. And you do not walk without direction, because we know we are headed home. And as the peace begins to settle in our hearts when we come to that realization, it begins to show up in how we live, how we speak, how we just live day to day. It's in our homes. It's in our workplaces. It's in our conversations. It's in our choices. Christian, do not withdraw from the world, but live faithfully in it, because we know who holds our future. And as we live with that confidence, we become people who reflect Jesus clearly and consistently right where we are. And church, this is how faith becomes visible. Stacy, if you'd make your way up. We are not simply waiting for heaven. We are living for Christ right now. And as we do, we continue to engage our community for Jesus. And so my question for you today is, how are you living in this world? Let's bow our heads. Before we close today, there's one simple question that has to be answered. The question is simple. Do you belong to Jesus? And upon hearing that question, if you feel the Holy Spirit is drawing you and you know the answer is no, let me speak to you for a moment. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We go a little bit further. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if today you know that you need to give your life to Christ or return to him, maybe this is in a fresh way, this right now, this is your moment. So if there's any in here today who would say, I need to get right with Jesus, would you raise your hand right where you're at, right now in this moment? Praise the Lord. Is there anybody else? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to just say a quick prayer together. And understand that this prayer, it's meaningless unless you mean it. If this isn't something from the heart, you're just checking a box that means nothing. So church, would you pray with me as we pray and we allow those who need to come to Jesus to run to him this morning? Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins, for making a way for me to be fully forgiven. You are my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died and rose again. Would you come into my life? Would you change me? Would you give me that eternal hope? Help me to walk every day of this life with eternity in mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. There's one individual who raised their hand this morning and said, hey, I need to get right with the Lord. And I say, praise the Lord for that. Yes, let's... And for the rest of us, I started by asking who just felt like they were overrun this week, whose week was shaken, and almost every hand in the room went up. And so I just want to invite everybody. This is just a different moment, a different feel today. But I want you to respond to the Lord. I want to invite you to respond. I can't make you do anything, but I want you to accept the invitation to respond to him. If you need peace, he's where you find it. Come. If your perspective has been shaken, you're confused by the things that are going on in this world or maybe in your life, come. If you want your heart realigned because it's gotten out of alignment and you're not sure that you have that hope and you need to get it realigned with Christ, come. If you just simply want to thank Him for the hope that you have, for His presence to be with you always in the hardest things that you face, this is your chance to come up and to say thank you, to spend time in prayer. See, this is a moment to intentionally slow down. I know that we all have things we want to do today. It's going to be a beautiful day, and I understand that. But who knows that this moment is more important than that? So this is a moment to intentionally slow down, step towards Jesus, and say, "Here I am." The altar is open, church. Would you in these next moments come and meet with the Lord? Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray clear across this room, Lord, that You are speaking and moving in ways that we don't even know. Lord, that You are calling people to Your presence, to Your goodness. And Lord, as we take these next few moments, Lord, let these be moments that are holy, that are intentional, and life-changing. In Jesus' name, amen.
I had a friend in college tell me this. Eternal perspective brings an internal contentment. And I know after hearing the message today, that contentment is because our hope and our peace is found in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So let's just seek Him, church. Let's find Him. Let's make room for Him.